Welcome to the Fish Fry Commune, my friends. Please deposit your shoes and negativity at the door. EE Journal's weekly podcast, hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton, is bringing the Zen, the Om, into your IoT verification process. And that's Om, not Om. Get it? This week, we're talking about finding a holistic way to verify your IoT with John Cooter from Synopsys. We're tackling verification in IoT, the unique challenges of IP in IoT, and the best places for foodies in the Bay Area. Check it out. Thank you so much for joining me today, John.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
So first off, let's talk about the unique challenges for EDA and IP for the IoT market. Now, what do you think they are?
Well, there are a number of unique challenges. So first of all, it's all about system cost, it's about security, it's about low power and energy efficiency, it's about working closely with partnerships to manufacture the chips at a very cost-effective point, and it's also about having a complete software ecosystem around our solutions. So let me just talk about power efficiency, for example. And one of the things you might say is, well, in a mobile space, that's all about power too. Haven't we, you know, solved that problem or certainly have some good techniques? And the answer is, of course, the answer is yes. But IoT brings a new range of challenges beyond mobile. Because for mobile, you have the giant batteries, and it's all about having an excellent user experience. Your phone wants to last a day, and you want to have a very intense, immersive interaction with your phone in terms of the graphics and so forth. With IoT devices, it's really differently. You don't want your IoT device to last a day. You want it to last a month, maybe even a year. And in many applications, not all, but certainly in many applications, the form factor that you have is restricted and you simply cannot put in place large batteries. So IoT is a lot about energy efficiency. And so what we're seeing is very aggressive power management. Techniques that were originally developed for the most advanced application processors in FinFET technology are now being applied to quote-unquote older generations, 55 and 40 nanometer. So from an EDA and an IP perspective, some of the new challenges that we're facing is driving the voltages down to very, very, very low levels, some cases 0.7 volts, 0.6 volts, and while maintaining an acceptable level of performance. It's also about security. One of the things that I always joke about is that you don't want your smart appliance to be spying on you. So I think from an IP perspective, you're going to see a lot in the security space to make sure that your data is secure. And I think that's going to be a really important trend. I think it's going to be a lot about system costs. So one of the things that you see the fabs doing, the foundries doing, is that they're innovating in the process space. They are coming up with brand new process nodes that are optimized for IoT. And specifically, they'll have RF support, they'll have embedded flash support, and other things that will ensure that the total system cost of these IoT devices is low. And I think another very important solution here is that some of the customers designing these chips may not be your traditional semiconductor. They may be your systems houses. And as a result, they may be looking for a bigger, more packaged solution. And I think that Synopsys actually is in a good position to deliver that package of tools and hardware and software, all three.
So let's talk about Synopsys in particular. You guys are tackling these challenges in a holistic way. Now, tell me more about that. What exactly does that mean?
That's a great question. So what we mean by that is we have a complete story around tools, software, and IP that have all been optimized for the Internet of Things applications. And specifically what I'm talking about here is a lot of the innovation that's going on in the edge devices where there's a lot of creativity here. So on the tool side, you know, we have very advanced power management techniques, things like power gating, late stage ECO changes to minimize the leakage power. We're coming up with new architectures for our memories, new architectures for our library functions, all of which are designed to have the lowest possible system power. I mentioned before that, you know, we're looking to drive the voltage levels down on all of our IP, and that's not easy. It's a very tricky technical challenge. challenge while maintaining an acceptable level of performance. So all of those things we are working together to address the power challenge, but we're also looking at it from a system cost challenge. So again, some of the most advanced techniques, the tools we're using on IoT designs, and rather than it being about maximizing the performance of, let's say, an application processor, it's about minimizing the die size. And that can take one of two different tacks. It can take the tact of reducing the number of metal layers. We have an example of a success story where we worked with a customer to reduce the number of metal layers in an IoT application from 6 to 4. I mean, that is a dramatic reduction in system cost. In another case, we worked very closely with a customer to be able to use the most advanced features of the tools that were designed for FinFET and able to do that and shrink the die size by 20%. So again, another way to do system cost savings. And then one of the things that I always say from an IP perspective for IoT, if all you do is try and relabel your existing IP and slap an IoT label on it, guess what? You will fail. And so from our perspective as a major IP supplier, what we're doing is we're taking our entire portfolio and we are re-optimizing it for these older process nodes, these 40 and 55 nanometer process nodes. So again, we're taking some of our most advanced capabilities that were designed for FinFET designs, things like shutdown power modes, deep sleep power modes, most advanced architectures that are half the size, half the power, and we're taking them and we're moving them to these new IoT nodes. In addition to that, we have what we think is an extremely competitive solution on the processor space. With the Virage acquisition a number of years ago, we acquired an ARC core, and ARC is really, in my opinion, ideal for IoT. It's extremely power and area efficient. And in fact, in its smallest configuration, it's only 0.01 millimeter squared. That's not a typo, not 0.1, but 0.01 millimeter squared. And around that ARC core, we've actually built a sensor subsystem, because in all of these type of devices, you have many, many different sensors. The data is streaming into this centralized SoC. It needs to be locally processed before it gets shipped upstream to the aggregation layer and to the cloud. And around our ARC core, we have built a sensor and control subsystem that does exactly that. Again, very small, very area efficient, leveraging the fundamental benefits of ARC, which is configurability, the ability to do custom instructions, and, you know, a very technical term about a busless architecture. You can direct connect peripherals to the ARC core, and that just saves area and saves power. So with that sensor and control subsystem, it's not just about the hardware, software is really important too. So one of the things that we just announced a couple of months ago was a free and open source software platform that we call Embark. And Embark is specifically optimized for ARC and for IoT. And we have worked with a number of different partners to port software onto our sensor subsystem and onto ARC. So we've worked with people like Hillcrest, we've worked with people like Sensory, Contiki, FreeRTOS have all been ported to the sensor subsystem and ARC more broadly. But it's a free and open source platform, so we actually have already over 1,000 members that are contributing free and open source specifically to make the IoT designs easier to build. So even though we launched just a couple of months ago, we're actually really excited about it with over 1,000 contributors. And it's interesting because it's the third most popular page at Synopsys right now, behind Synopsys.com and people looking for the career page at Synopsys. So the third most popular page is this new free and open source Embark software. And so a lot of interest in it. We're very excited about it. We really think that it's a great initiative.
All right, John, are you ready for your off-the-cuff question?
I am, absolutely.
So you told me you're a bit of a foodie, and you went to two amazing restaurants recently. Now, I am a foodie myself, so I have to hear about these restaurants.
Okay, well, I'll be interested to see whether you heard of them. So a friend of mine who lives on the East Coast now used to live out here in San Francisco and recommended two restaurants to me that I went to both of them this weekend. The first was the Presidio Social Club. I love that. It's a small diner, you know, almost like a diner kind of a feel, you know, on the grounds of the Presidio, beautiful perfect food, wonderful service, impeccable. I absolutely loved it. Recommend that to anybody. And on Monday, I just went to a place called Gary Denko's. Oh my God, it is a fantastic meal. I had a 5-course meal with a matching wine flights, and it was delicious. Risotto with shrimp, and then went on to horseradish encrusted salmon, pork loin tender, you know, a selection of artisan cheeses, a baked chocolate souffle. I mean, it was the most magnificent meal I've had in a long time. I highly recommend that.
Awesome. And now I have to have lunch. Well, John, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me. This was super cool.
Thank you for having me.
As verification has its own particular pain points, so does that bomb bottom line. As I am sure you all know all too well, reducing your bomb costs can be a giant pain in the bomb, right? If your design contains programmable logic, however, you may have a lot of powerful options for reducing cost that might not be obvious by simply looking at the component costs. In our most recent episode of Chalk Talk, I sit down with Maureen Smurden and Darren Zacher of Xilinx, and we chat about minimizing bomb costs in your next design, and how it may be easier than you think. You can check out this episode by heading on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal, by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com, or by heading on over to the on-demand section of EE Journal. Now, folks, in last week's Fish Fry, I unveiled the Odyssey Max 10 FPGA and BLE sensor kit with a little help from Steve Sharp from Magnica. And I gave everyone the chance to enter to win one of these super cool kits courtesy of Magnica. Well, how about just one more week to enter to win an Odyssey Max 10 FPGA and BLE sensor kit? Sound good? Just wait until you hear what this bad boy includes. This kit includes both a Max 10 FPGA board and a Bluetooth smart sensor board. First, that Max 10 FPGA board supports dual configuration. Instant On has integrated analog blocks that feature temperature sensing diode and an ADC and DSP blocks as well. The Bluetooth Smart sensor board is perfect for getting that IoT project you've been dreaming about finally off its feet. It includes a Broadcom Bluetooth Smart, or BLE, connectivity module, Silicon Labs UV and ambient light proximity, heart rate, and blood oximetry sensor, Silicon Labs temperature and humidity sensor, analog devices accelerometer, Silicon Labs low-power USB-enabled EFM32 Gecko microcontroller, and can include even further sensor expansion through an I2C-compatible interface. So how can you win one of these super awesome Max 10 FPGA and BLE sensor kits like the one I have on my desk right now? Oh, yes, I do. Send me an email, amelia@eejournal.com. Post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com or post a comment on our Facebook page telling me that you want to enter the contest. That's it. And you know you would love one of these kits, so enter today. And if you want any further proof that you should enter this contest, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page all about this super cool kit, including two Odyssey kit example applications, a track rover and a quadcopter. Super cool. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, yes, you can join our circle on Google Plus. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to that EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed via Podbean or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 24th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.